No thickening romance, as happens around the instruments in Leo Tolstoy's epic novels. Nor is there any explanation about how or why the piano ended up here in the first place. The image has arrived with no mention of what is being played, which is music the picture can't capture anyway. Yet, all sorts of intonations fill the word Siberia, written in the subject line of the email. Siberia. The word makes everything it touches vibrate at a different pitch. Early Arab traders called Siberia Ibis Sibir, Sibir ir Abur, and Abur I Sabir. Modern etymology suggests its roots lie in the Tatar word Sibir, meaning the sleeping land. Others contend that Siberia is derived from the mythical mountain Sumbir, found in Siberian Turkic folklore. Sumbir, like slumber, or Wissibir, like whisper, which was the name the Bavarian traveller Johann Schiltberger bestowed upon this enigmatic hole in 15th century cartography. Whatever the word's ancestry, the sound is right. Siberia rolls off the tongue with a sibilant chill. It is a word full of poetry and alliterative suggestion. But by inferring sleep, the etymology also undersells Siberia's scope, both real and imagined. Siberia is far more significant than a place on the map. It is a feeling which sticks like a burr, a temperature, the sound of sleepy flakes falling on snowy pillows, and the crunch of uneven footsteps coming from behind. Siberia is a wardrobe problem. Too cold in winter and too hot in summer, with wooden cabins and chimney stacks belching corpse-grey smoke into wide white skies. It is a melancholy, a cinematic romance, dipped in limpid moonshine, unhurried train journeys, pipes wrapped in sackcloth, and a broken swing hanging from a squeaky chain. You can hear Siberia in the big, soft chords in Russian music that evoke the hush of silver birch trees and the billowing winter snows. Covering an 11th of the world's landmass, Siberia is bordered by the Arctic Ocean in the north and the Mongolian steppe in the south.